Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Well, I want to welcome you to the program. This is Tom Curran, and I have the delight of welcoming Father Jim Northrup to the program. Father Jim, how are you?
I am blessed. Thanks. Great to be with you. It's been a while.
Yes, it has. And we just saw each other. We're using Zoom to record this interview. And I'm like, who's that young man that is just joined the meeting? I'm like, is this his nephew or something? I mean, I'm like,
his clone. Yeah.
Father Jim, you look awesome. You look great.
Thanks.
And then you said to me, you lost 60 pounds. So we've got a ton to cover in our program. Actually, we've
got at least 60 pun intended. Okay.
I was going to say at least 60 pounds of stuff to cover. We got lots to go over, lots to catch up on. And Father Jim doesn't even know the full range of what we're going to talk about, but I love this. I love the, let's be open to surprises, the Holy Spirit of surprises, right? You're
Amen.
Open to that, Father Jim?
I am very open to that. You bet.
All right. Awesome. We'll be back in a minute to continue. Hey, welcome back to the program. I have, the pleasure of Father Jim Northrup being with me together. Father Jim, would you lead us with a prayer to open the program?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks and praise for this opportunity to talk about our exciting life in Christ. And we just pray you to bless all of our listeners and bless all of our families and all the people we hold in our hearts as we gather for this interview. And we just ask in a very special way for the intercession of all of our heavenly friends and especially our Blessed Mother Mary. We ask this in all things through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
All right. So, Father, we just got to start at the beginning. You mentioned that you've dropped a lot of weight. And I didn't get to hear the story. So what is going on? Because, you look awesome.
Oh, thank you. Well, two summers ago, you know, we did a health screening at our priest convocation at Ocean Shores, and I went ahead and did it and got some news with the blood results that I was almost like, you said you're pre-diabetic, you know, my A1C was so high. So that scared me because I have a lot of friends who have had diabetes and had amputations and things. So I just thought I just need to get more mileage out of this body and take better care of myself. So just started making some lifestyle changes. And got it down to like 5.4 now, but I've been walking. I exercise every day. Daily exercise has never been really part of my daily life for a long time, and now it is. I did the Camino, so we were training for that as well, and that helped motivate me. And also, yeah, so just eating healthy and exercising and been great.
So it's, you know, it's fascinating what you just shared there is, I think that like it actually is very relevant to our life of faith. It's like you said, what is it that moves people to embrace Jesus fully in their lives? Is it the attractiveness of God's love, or is it the fear of having broken down so much that I need to be rescued, right? And obviously both, but in your experience,
both, yeah.
what is the more common path?
Probably that you're unhealthy, and if you don't change something, something bad's going to happen to you.
Yeah, hello. Isn't that true? Like, and it's kind of like, oh, you know, hey, Father Jim, someone could have said, hey, we're going to give you these vitamins, and these vitamins are going to help you be that much stronger and more vigorous. And you'd smile and nod and say, that's fine. Give me the popcorn. I'm watching my Netflix or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But when it's no, you know what? Your health condition, if it continues like this, you might lose a foot.
Right.
You talked about, I mean, you used the word amputation. That's pretty dramatic outcome.
So
it's like, okay, I want to avoid that negative. And oh, by the way, yeah, I want to be healthy for the positive.
Right.
So I think that's
so that was the initial motivation was the fear of that. But then as you move into it, you just feel a lot better when you know you're taking care of your body and making wiser choices and everything. And it's hard. I mean, we all have a hectic lifestyle and trying to find a rhythm in it all and everything. But so there was prayer involved in it too. Like, Lord, help me to make wiser choices and to exercise every day. I've got my frog togs out, you know, I'm wearing gear. So I still walk and bike and exercise and stuff. So, yeah, so it's been really good. It was all in the midst of transitioning into this new assignment too with three parishes and all. And,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So the funny thing is just yesterday, Carrie and I were talking about this, like motivations for doing healthy activity, whether it's exercising or eating in a healthy format. What would you say would be some of the motivations? Like you said, one motivation is it's about health, but then you started saying, no, other things emerged. Does any of this have a, let's call it a spiritual meaning, or do you associate it with your call to be a saint, be a priest, fulfill your mission? I'd love to hear about some of the layers of meaning or motivation
Sure.
that you have for doing this.
Yeah, well, this last week I made the dedication of Saint John Lateran, and do you not know that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, your body, and just that, and I've known that for years, that you're, the reverence for the body, and we incense it at the end there and everything. And so that was some of the motivation there, is just I need to take better care of my body if I want to get more priestly ministry years out of it, it's going to go short if I don't take care of it. But also just knowing that those challenges of having three parishes and trying to manage all that was coming around the corners. I just need to make some wiser choices. And this is part of it. And I let it go for a while. And it's like, it's time to ask the Lord to help you focus on this aspect of your life that's been a little unruly, if you will.
So have you become a bit of a like an evangelistic witness to, oh, get in shape, work out, eat healthy. It's so much, there's so many benefits. Kind of like people who go to an apparition site and they come back and they're like, that's all they're talking about.
Yeah,
Have you become a bit like
a
that?
little bit, but not in an obnoxious way. I mean, I just try to encourage people, and I have actually had conversations with other parishioners who, have high A1Cs, and how are you doing? And they tell me their numbers, and good for you, and you can cheer each other on, and everything, But I haven't. I don't think I'm obnoxious with that. I hope not, at least, because it's a
Well,
huge struggle, and just to find that rhythm of life, and people with large families and kids, and just it's just challenging, to our world is just so busy, and you sit in front of a computer all the time. It's just not like it used to be, where you had to walk and do things and stuff. We're very sedentary. We don't move around a lot.
so you said something, and I want to come back around to the fact that it was 22 years ago that you and I first started doing Sound Insight together.
Oh,
Back in
wow.
2003, if you can believe it. So I want to
Wow.
cover the arc of those now decades that we did, started off and launched into radio, Catholic radio with Sacred Heart Radio. But before we do that, you said a word that was very meaningful to me, and that word was the Camino. And so I heard Ron Belzer mention that you walked the Camino, and I'm like, oh, I got to talk to Father Jim about the Camino. So first of all, for folks who don't know, just say to that, well, what is the Camino? And then tell us a bit about your journey. Like, when did you
Sure.
do it? What was that like? And then I'm sure I've got some stories and questions. So.
Sure. Well, it was an abridged version because, usually it takes about 5 weeks if you start in France, but there are different routes, and some people start in England, but we did the Portugal way. So we flew into Porto, Portugal, and did like 2.5, almost 3 weeks hiking from there. And I didn't have any expectations. I didn't look at the map. I didn't look at where we were staying. I'm just kind of easy going like that, and just let things happen as they will. And a lot more walking through cities than I expected. I thought we'd be with the cows and animals out in the field and sheep, and that was part of it. But a lot, walking through cities and everything. But it was great, and just a lot of downtime to just pray and reflect about life and the challenges that I have here now with three parishes and just my own life and things. And then I went with five other people, one married couple and then three other ladies, and the most easygoing, no drama travelers I've ever been with in my life. Just very respectful. We were all respectful of each other. We gave each other's permission to be ahead, to hike ahead if you need to, not socialize, pray the rosary. There were no expectations as far as we all had to stick together. And then some days I was 2 miles ahead of them, and some days I was a mile behind them. It just depended, on the terrain and what was going on and everything. So it was great. And just a lot of one-on-one time with the Lord that I normally wouldn't get, being in an office and having the phone ring off the hook and emails and all that stuff. So it was very unique in that way.
So doing the Camino a year ago myself, I reflected on it now that it's passed, as a gracious disruption, that God graciously disrupted the lifestyle that I had and reasserted some things and reinserted some things into my life and reasserted my need to do things. Does that resonate with you at all?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And there were certain days where there's like a theme that he would give me about pray for your family and, certain things that are happening in our family dynamics, like my mom's mental health and stuff. And then some days it was just, somebody would walk along with you, and you just needed to be there for them and listen to their story. One thing I picked up right away was, everybody carries trauma and difficulty in their life. And when you really sit down and talk with people, You find out a little more, scratch the surface, and find out that they're carrying some kind of cross. Like one gentleman, he was supposed to do this with his 22-year-old son, and he just died. And he didn't tell us how, and I didn't probe that, but he took pictures all along the way and was putting him up at the memorial sites. And just you could just tell that was a huge cross for him, that he looked so forward to doing this when his son turned 22, and then he wasn't there with him. So we got to pray with him and, talk with him, and then I never saw him again after that. It's kind of like life. People come and go in your life. The Lord's the one that's always walking with you, but he brings other people in your life to speak truth to you, to affirm you, to challenge you. And that all happened during the journey, and we got where we were supposed to go. We got lost a few times. They'd say, oh, it's only a couple more miles to the hostel or the Ambergule, and actually it's 4 or 5 more miles. So we would always say, just add 4 miles to whatever they tell you, and you're going to get there. But in our spiritual life too, we don't always arrive from a point A to point B in a straight line, and but there's grace in between, and people came out to greet us, and we're hospitable, and all signs of God's love and affection for you in the most unique ways and through different people. A lot of people, I was surprised, do it, but it's not necessarily for a spiritual reason. I'm remembering my sister who went off the road 4 years ago, and one guy's done 80 of these, and in memory of her. But he's really, I'm not a religious person. That's the first thing he said when they found out I was a Catholic priest, And yeah, so it's not necessarily for the same reasons I was there, but the commonality and walking with people and sharing in their lives and their stories was, it was a very beautiful thing.
So interestingly, so what you said about most people that you met were not there for religious reasons. A very insightful guy, when I was preparing for it, said to me, he said what he named as that which was most common as a descriptor of people is that they were at an inflection point in their lives, that something had happened and it deflected them off of what they, so retirement, empty nesters, maybe it was a loss of someone or a loss of a relationship, like a divorce. But it was often in the midst of that inflection point that they said, I need to step apart and do this. What would you say, like, was this on your bucket list? Was this something that you've always wanted to do? How did you end up saying, yes, I want to do this?
It was an invitation through a good friend, but I had wanted to do that. I had not had a sabbatical in 28 years, and I thought, well, maybe I should do the Camino. And so this was kind of a good introduction to it, 3 weeks, and get an idea of what it's like and everything. But this particular friend went with her husband and her 17-year-old son 2 years ago and did it. And the interesting thing is that they have a Camino family. So we went back into Germany to meet up with these people. And it's, when I stepped off the train, that they met us, and that was kind of a surprise. And the one lady from I think Belgium said, I'm not religious, do I have to call you father? And I said, you can call me anything you want. Well, wait, maybe I should re-say that. But they met, and they still keep in touch, and they still have the mementos they gave each other 2 years ago. So it's kind of neat. And so the passage I got for that was Philippians 4, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, think of these things, that you build on the good. And they took us to the cathedral in Cologne, but they kind of stayed outside. And do you want to go in again? I said, no, we've had enough time in there to pray and look around and everything. But so they've been surrounded by Christianity, and but they just don't kind of see the relevance. So I think part of them are curious about our motivations for doing the Camino, but they were very respectful, laughed a lot, and it was a lot of fun, to meet them. But I was that was a surprise for me, that I just assumed everybody was going for some spiritual reason, particularly within Christianity and stuff. And but it's just it was very interesting. But I that's what I thought of: whatever is true, whatever is lovely, is ever honorable, whatever is just, think of these things, and you just build on the good and all, that's present in people. And that's how you evangelize them, and you draw them into the experience of encountering Christ.
Well, and for you on the Camino, this is sort of like shooting fish in a barrel in terms of evangelizing, right? So this idea of divine appointments, and you can explain to folks what a divine appointment is. And I'm guessing that your Camino was probably filled with, like, this wasn't much of a break. You were probably in regular, meaningful, deep conversations. You use the word trauma. I mean, like so much for your sabbatical, but so what was that like with the divine
Yeah,
appointments
well, it
that
was
were just
interesting
like,
because,
wow.
we had daily mass, and so we went to one ambergole or hostel, and the lady was very friendly, and we sit down and, have a glass of wine, and these two ladies from Germany are there, and so one of the people that invited me to go is very extroverted and outgoing, way more than me, and this is our priest, and she immediately says, "Oh, I left the Catholic Church years ago." I'm like, "Oh, that's a great conversation starter." But they invited him to join us for mass the next morning, and a guy from Switzerland named Zemo, they came. They came and celebrated the mass, and we had a dinner the night before, and we did some singing. I did the victory chant, and the comment that they made to this friend that invited them was that, in Germany, I'm not saying this, I don't know what it's like in Germany. I'm at like 1% Germany, but she said, "In Germany, the priests are all mean and grumpy, and we've never seen a happy priest." That's what they said to my friend.
Oh.
Like, and that made me really sad. I was like, really? You never bumped into somebody who's just joyful and, knows through the Holy Spirit, and they hadn't experienced that. So they, I don't know, it was just weird. But the fact that they came, I was really honored by that they came and joined us, that was kind of neat. So, but I did have a lot of downtime too. I'm pretty independent, and I was ahead of people, and they would stop for a coffee or something, and I'm like, "I'm a mile ahead of you. I'll just wait for you." And being celibate and single, the herd mentality has kind of left me a little bit, so I had to be sensitive to that too, because sometimes I screwed things up and it was where I shouldn't be. I had my earphones in, and I just kept walking, and they're yelling at me that the arrow's pointing that way, and I'm going this way.
That's so great. I
Yeah.
want to ask one more question about this, and then we'll go to a break. Do you have a was there a like you mentioned the story of the fellow that you walked with who had lost a son.
Yeah.
Was there a like supernatural like wow, God just landed on this conversation or in this walking with this person, or maybe even it was when we got to Santiago and we went
Yeah.
to mass and there was the Boto Fumero, the big thurible
Yep.
swinging, what was the big ta-da, if you will?
You
Is
know,
there,
I'd
was
have to
there one that
say,
stands
yeah.
out?
Well, that was cool, and they don't do that all the time. But somebody must have paid 500 euros to have it done, because they did it after mass. But and that was neat. And I didn't take a video; somebody else did. And of course, the back of my head's in the whole video. But the neatest thing for me was confession. I really wanted to go to confession. And so we all went, and I asked one of the participants that we stayed with. I said, "Do you have anything else you want to add to my list? Because you've been with me for 3 weeks now." My humor, my constant jukebox music in my head all the time. So we all went to this African priest, and he spent a lot of time with us, and it was really, he just said some really profound things. It was a very gifted confessor, and that's probably my biggest takeaway. And I wanted to go before, and then they closed the cathedral. I thought, "Oh, great, I'm not going to get in." I said, "I'll even do it in Spanish if I have to. I just definitely need to go to confession." But we all wound up going together and in line behind each other, and that was really moving for me, that confession that I had in the Santiago de Compostela, the cathedral there. And all that was very, and some of the words he shared with me are still in with me, and I'm still meditating upon them and trying to unpack it, his
That's
advice
so
and
powerful.
everything. Yeah, it was really good. It
Wow.
was very nice. And people came up to me, and I didn't wear clerics a lot. I just, when I got to the cathedral, and then spent, "Oh, the line's kind of long. Can you hear my confession?" I said, "Well, I really don't have permission." So, and actually, that's not a long line. Get in line. I was kind of telling them. I mean, I had my letter, my Ordo card, but I'm not sure what the policies are for that. I didn't want to, upset the apple cart or anything. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Did you end up getting the like the diploma and
I do.
the
Somebody else still has it, because we brought them back, and I haven't seen it yet. But I went down to the visitor center there. We did. We paid for that and got it, and they brought it back. It just hadn't shown up in my house yet. But I know somebody has it. Did you get one
Somebody
too?
has it. That's great. Yeah. Oh
Yeah.
yeah. I'm
You
trying
got,
to find
yeah.
it's around somewhere. I could
Sure.
pull it out. It's put away somewhere, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we did that. And their little passport, they stamp it when you go to the restaurants and everything. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So that was yeah, so many memories. In fact,
Yeah.
it for me, honestly, Father, it's life changing.
It
And I know
was. Yeah.
that sounds kind of dramatic, but it the grace that came was not just it was the grace of preparing for it. It was what I experienced on it. And then now it's the overflow into how I'm living now.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, I don't think anyone's really unpacked it like that. I think most people just focus on the actual experience of the Camino itself rather than saying, no, your work, the spiritual and physical work you'll do to prepare. Yes, what happens on it, but then what will flow from it is actually potentially transformative. And that could make it a lot more attractive.
Sure. Well, somebody made the comment, your commute begins when it ends. That, you're just constantly going back to those memories and thinking about people's kindness and hospitality. And then when you're on your own and you got lost or it's pouring down rain. Or one day I finally hiked this big hill and I thought, oh, good, it's a flat road. And then the arrow's pointing up again. I'm like, oh, Lord have mercy. And I had a toe injury, so I had to wear sandals most of the time.
Oh
Tiva
no.
hiking sandals, which were a lifesaver. Yeah, I couldn't wear shoes. I just had something happen when we did 19 miles one day and I wasn't able to, but it worked out perfectly. I only fell
Wow.
twice. And I
Wow,
caught
that's
myself. So yeah.
man. Well, that's Father Jim Northrup sharing with me some stories about the Camino, and it's a delight again to see you, Father Jim. We're up against a break. When we come back, we're going to mention the anniversary event for WWCCR, Western Washington Catholic Charismatic Renewal, and then I want to continue our conversation. We'll do that in just 1 minute. Welcome back to the program. I'm with Father Jim Northrup, my original co-host for Sound Insight from back in 2003. Father Jim, do
Wow.
you realize it's been that long?
No, that surprised me when you said that. It just, where's the time go? I think you were in Fife in a little studio there or something when you started.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, you drove down and we were on twice a week. I think it was Monday and Friday from like 4 to 4:30, something like that. And we recorded a bunch of sessions. And Tammy Stevens, she was the like produced it. So that's really cool. Like to imagine that's where we started, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I actually want to pick up on that because you mentioned 20, is it 28 years ordained?
28
That's
years.
amazing. And coming up on November the 15th, that's this Saturday, beginning at 10 o'clock. It's the WWCCR anniversary celebration. Father Jim, you'll be celebrating a mass there, and there'll be some praise and worship and then a potluck lunch at St. Brendan's in Bothell. Father, you know a little bit about St. Brendan's, don't you? Just a
12 years there,
connoisseur.
you bet. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's so exciting. And so, folks, please go to WWCCR.org so you can register for the event. It is open, it's free, but it's a wonderful chance to come and really immerse yourself in the gift of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal as this movement to stir into flame the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this relationship with the Holy Spirit. Father Jim, I want to use this idea of time and the flow of time, right? So here we are talking again 22 years later. Have you like I have a philosophical kind of bent, right? And so I tend to ask these bigger questions like, what was that all about? Like, what was that all about? So I want you to reflect on your 28 years of priesthood, 22 years on the radio, how many decades have been you've been involved in Catholic Charismatic Renewal, and just stop and reflect for a moment live with me on like what were the biggest surprises, right? And the biggest surprise of your priesthood might be something you didn't realize you'd find so delightful, right? Something that was like, oh my goodness, I never knew that the Lord would bless me in such a way through this aspect of the priesthood. So let's start with that one, right? Is there,
Sure.
when you think about 28 years of ordination, what would you say is the biggest surprise as you approached the seminary, you went through the seminary, you got ordained, and now you've been doing this for 28 years. Like, this is something that is really a beautiful, glorious surprise from the Lord.
Sure. Well, I'd say this is the centrality of the actual experience of baptism in the Holy Spirit, because that happened my freshman year in college, and how central that would be in sustaining me and helping me through the difficulties that I've experienced in life, and keeping you not jaded, and just always looking for something new that the Lord is doing in your life. And one of the recent things is the gift of prophecy. So, we're just living in difficult times. And a few weeks ago, I was praying about some of the challenges that we have in our parish community, and just me personally, and Paul saying in 1 Corinthians 14, strive eagerly for the spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For prophecies, he explains in that passage that it's to comfort, edify, and console. And so I've just been really trying to be aware of the opportunities to do that when people come into the office or confession, even. Like, Lord, do you have a word for this person that I can encourage him? Because people are so stressed out and in despair over lots of things that are happening in their families and their own personal life, and just the world today, and the polarization that we experience in politics and the church. And to be one that speaks good news to people that the Lord is with you, and just to be aware of that, my words. And that all stems out of the whole experience of charismatic renewal for me. I just got back too. I went last October with several other people from the board to the Houston conference, Houston, Texas. Y'all come back now. And I'd never been there. A little flat, but gas was $2.38 a gallon. So I was a little jealous about that. But together with 400 other people who are leaders in the Catholic charismatic renewal from around the country, it was just an incredibly graced experience. And I got to pray with some new religious sisters who are Franciscan and charismatic. And it just was a real shot in the arm to be around people with that come together with that kind of expectant faith, and also that are open to the gifts and everything. It was just a real blessing to be part of that. And that just reminded me about, in my life, in WWCCR sent me and three other priests to the national international retreat in ours in 2005. They paid everything for us because they want to support their priests, and they've just been a real blessing and very good to me, those people that have been part of the renewal for all of these years and everything.
Well, I want to focus in on this idea of, I'm going to use the phrase operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, right? So most Catholics would think of the sevenfold gifts from baptism and
Isaiah,
confirmation, right? Wisdom,
yeah.
knowledge, understanding, et cetera. But you mentioned the charismatic gifts. 1 Corinthians 14 mentions prophecy in particular, as a gift to be sought after. And I love what you've said, because this is a distinction that, again, most folks are not going to be normally thinking about. And that is, okay, here you are, you're in, let's call it a counseling context. And what you're saying is, I'm not simply going to rely on the wisdom of my mature experience of years in having gone through this situation and through my study, but instead, no, the Holy Spirit, the living God, can stir in me a divine insight, a word that God intends this dear one in front of me to hear. And he's going to use me right now as a conduit to bring a word that I never would have come up with on my own, but it's going to be exactly the word that they need to hear. That's a really shocking thing.
But it's a beautiful thing that avoids you feeling helpless and getting a victim spirit where I'm just reacting to things. That we have all been anointed to be those glad tidings, the happy feet on the mountain. Blessed are those who announce glad tidings and salvation and Zion, God is your king. Isaiah 52, and that all of us, and that, so I've been preaching about that publicly, that I'm trying to teach people about this gift. And your kids, I just had a friend visiting, and her son kind of struggles with anxiety, and he came in very anxious, and it's like, what's going on? And he just gets all these thoughts that just press in on him. And she said, "Hey, can I pray with you?" And I was just so touched by that. This is his mother. Of course, he said no, but but at least she offered and is aware that, hey, I'm not going to feel helpless in this situation. The Holy Spirit has anointed me to say that God is with you, even in this challenge you're experiencing right now. And there just aren't a lot of people doing that in the world, but even in the church. We're so aware of all the problems we have, the challenges we face, and there are very few people that will just stop in a meeting and just say, hey, let's just pray into this and ask to see if the Lord has something for us. We're just not in that environment. So to be at that conference, it's like, this is what we need to be moving in this direction. And we're not. It's very corporate-like, a lot of our meetings and things. So I've been trying to tell people, you need to stop and pray into this and not just feel helpless and, oh, this is impossible. That he wants
Right.
to
Well,
empower us. Yeah.
and I love what you said, because it presumes something. It presumes that God sees, God knows, God cares, God's involved, God's interested, and God's actually communicating, and he's waiting for a way in, and he's going to use the giftings he's given to us to provide a way in.
Yeah.
And most of us don't begin there. And I love what you just shared, for me, points to not everyone got to go to Houston, but people can come this Saturday, right? So if you're in the
That's right.
Bothell area, but you're going to be around hundreds of other activated, engaged, expectant Catholics who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And folks, baptism in the Holy Spirit, it's this grace for the moment of releasing the gifts and graces of your confirmation. It's your personal Pentecost come alive, where the power of the Holy Spirit is released. You have this empowerment where the gifts of the Holy Spirit provide you with this sense of capacity. The word that scripture uses is this anointing to be able to bring about God's goal in a moment through the gifts that God has given you. That, wow, the Holy Spirit can be personally involved with your life so that you're not only relying on your strength. That's my way of saying it, Father Jim. How would you,
I think that's perfect, and that's right. Not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord God Almighty. And that was on my ordination card because somebody prayed over me before I went into the seminary, and they gave me that passage, and I just kept that rooted. You know, that are you self-reliant or Holy Spirit reliant? And it's easy to just kind of get in the mindset, oh, we can do this, we can do that, and wait a minute, unless the Lord builds a house, in vain do the laborers toil. And I think that's our biggest problem, is that we're not Holy Spirit reliant. So to be able to tell people you have this gift inside of you, fan into flame this gift. But you know, we talked before years ago. I remember we were talking about this. Like, did they teach a class on the Holy Spirit when you were in the seminary? No, it was they didn't even. It was an elective, and I took it, and it wasn't great, but it wasn't even a requirement. And I remember we asked Father Kurt Nagel too, and he said, no, they didn't teach that. And it's like, that's a scandal in my mind.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, I remember that. I think I came up with a list of 30 things that were never taught in any homily, class, session, lecture, spiritual reflection, or whatever. And certainly the idea of the charismatic gifts of the Spirit and baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that was on, those things were on the list of things that were not talked about. But there were real losses, right? There were some. There are real losses involved. Like, God bless us for priests who are living a holy priesthood, but are missing out on being plugged into the power of the Holy Spirit through this release of these gifts and graces. And I'm not saying that, okay, if you didn't have your hands laid on you and prayed specifically and intentionally for the release of the Holy Spirit, that it didn't happen. Let's just say, in this moment, the ordinary way that it is happening is through that, or through God's intervention in times of contemplative prayer, right? That's sort of the other way that it happens. But what a loss, what a challenge.
You know, one of the days in the Camino was just a day of gratitude of like the people who come into your life that have helped you be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and that you need to be calling on this gift. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And it wasn't the mainstream things you might expect. It was just certain people who had been touched by this grace, and they just came along and said things to me or helped me open up more to that. And just it was just a day of gratitude for that. And then the desire in my heart to share with other people. It's because if this is our first inheritance, as St. Paul says, then the devil wants to rob us. Like, you just won a $10 million lottery and be satisfied with the penny from it. It's like, I don't want to be sad with the penny. I want the full meal deal. I want whatever God wants for me, I want. And so when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, we got taken out for a coffee, and with our leader, who was a senior in college. And I remember I had reservations about one particular gift. He said, hey, just stop overthinking this and just be like Mary. Be it done unto me according to thy word. Whatever the Lord wants me to have is what I want to have. And that helped me a lot, you know. But it was mentoring to somebody else who had already been, you know, operating on, with these gifts. And just I thought of that guy. I've never seen him again. His name was Nick. I remember that. And he was part of this journey that's led me to this today. And just thanking God for all these people that have come into my life that have helped me remember that. But I think that's why Paul tells Timothy in his second Timothy, do not neglect, remember to fan into flame, because he was having problems as a young bishop. And it's so easy for us to be self-reliant. You know, well, I can do this and I can do that. Did you even pray about that? How do you know that's what God wants you to do? Because it's my idea, and I know to test everything, retain what is good, throw out what's evil, you know. And we're just not trained like that in a lot of ways. And so I'm just so grateful to people that have come into my life and helped fan into flame, helped be an instrument for that in my own life. And there was one day on the Camino where I just spent the whole day, and I had a certain CD I was listening to. Well, it wasn't a CD, those are gone now, but it was on my phone. an album that just drew me into that experience and everything.
That's so beautiful. That's Father Jim Northrup talking with me today, and he's sharing a bit about his priesthood, about baptism in the Holy Spirit, about the gifts of the Spirit at work. And again, he's going to be the presider and homilist at this anniversary mass happening this Saturday, which is November the 15th. It begins at 10 a.m. It's the WWCCR anniversary celebration, and it has a time of praise and worship. There's mass, and then there's a potluck lunch. And it's WWCCR, Western Washington Catholic Charismatic Renewal. It's happening at St. Brendan's in Bothell. And if you go to WWCCR.org, WWCCR.org, you'll find an easy way to just let folks know you'll be coming. That way there'll be enough food to be able to share afterwards and fellowship. Father Jim, we're up against a break. When we come back, I want to continue this conversation with you. We'll be back in a minute with Father Jim Northrup. Welcome back to the program. So Father Jim, as you know, we've walked together for, well, 22 years. Actually, I told you this. I was at your first Mass. Well, it was one of your first Masses at St. Teresa's in Federal Way.
Oh,
was
yeah.
Was that your first Mass?
That was it was actually.
Yeah, so yeah,
the
I was there.
Ordination. Yeah, yeah.
I was there at your first Mass. We had just moved to the Seattle area, to Federal Way. And I remember seeing you, and you were all excited and enthusiastic, this young priest. It was so cool. But you think about this whole journey, right? And so you mentioned, like, one of the great gifts that that the Lord really emphasized in you was the way in which the baptism in the Holy Spirit was this really powerful foundation or this source of living a holy priestly life. What would you say would be one of the surprising challenges that as you've walked with the church, as you've pastored now many parishes, and you've seen the church live through a tumultuous entrance into the third millennium, what would you consider one of the challenges that the church still needs to sort of step in and face with courage and boldness that the Holy Spirit can provide?
Well, I think one of the main themes that came out of Camino was holding every thought captive to Christ. And if you don't deal with past trauma and disappointments that we all experience, and we're all the source of sometimes too, we're all sinners, you just bring those into your next situations and you kind of sabotage them. So I realized, like, there are a lot of things I can't change that are going to happen, like even the whole partners in the gospel and the consolidation of parishes. I didn't ask for that. I'm just kind of thrown into it. But if I don't see this as an opportunity to welcome the Holy Spirit, to have call people to a deeper intimacy with Christ and to walk more closely under that anointing of the Holy Spirit, you can get really overwhelmed and cynical. And I just realized that I want to change all this stuff out here, but he needs to change me and the way I think about things. And if I have past trauma in different environments that I haven't dealt with, then I got to deal with that stuff, because it's like somebody gave a sermon once about, you know, you're in a play and someone gave you a new script and you keep going back to the old one and you're interfering with everybody else's lines and you just mess everything up. Like the Lord's saying, I'm giving you a new script. I'm doing something new. Do you not perceive it? And just that whole negative thinking is so prevalent in the world today, but even in the church, where all this isn't going to go well, and you just sabotage the whole experience and said, Lord, what can I do to bring your mercy and love here? Mm-hmm. And everything. So the biggest thing for me is that I'm not going to be able to change a lot of externals. And the bridge was out for 3 months. I had to take a bike back and forth by the help of the exercise to Buckley to do the Masses there, which left me on one side of the bridge because the other priest couldn't do that. And so, well, he's not coming over here. He doesn't like us anymore. Well, that's not true. It's just a logistical thing, you know, and now it's open. But instead of, you know, seeing that as a negative thing, it's like this, God will provide. And someone gave me their husband who passed away his bike. And it worked perfectly. It has a little motor in it. I didn't use it a lot. I knew my legs are hurting. I'm exercising. But then how that all worked out, you know, they just gave me the bike and then the bridge gets taken out for 3 months. It's like, I will provide exceedingly and abundantly for all your needs. But if you're thinking it's negative, then you're going to interfere with that. And I struggle with that. I mean, I've had a lot of wounds and damage things that have happened, you know, in the priestly ministry. And so a lot of healing came about from the Camino, but also some retreats I've done with Dr. Bob Schutz and the JP2 Healing Institute. And just really, this is an ongoing thing, is that you need to deal with these things and not let them sabotage you and all. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. He draws you into this amazing journey of healing. You don't have to carry this stuff with you, where all this baggage.
Well, and Father, I love what you said, because people might think, oh, Father Jim, well, he's a priest and he's been through the seminary and you know, he's ministering as a priest with this confidence and this convicting power. Well, of course he's fine. He's essentially whole and doesn't have trauma and issues and challenges, and stuff rolls off him, right? It's a very natural thing for folks to reflect on. And okay, maybe we think about it more deeply and it's like, well, yeah, he's human too. And so he'll have his own way of relating to things that probably come from his past, blah, blah, blah. But you put your finger on something, and that was, I was going to ask you, Had you bumped into the John Paul II Healing Institute with Dr. Bob Schutz? Because he has certainly elevated this like point of focus on, hey, there are wounds from how you were brought up. Your parents might have been amazing, but they were still fallen and not fully redeemed. And so despite their best efforts, they're going to wound you, or they're going to be situations that are wounding. And it's never too late. It's never too late to say, Lord, can you unbind me and let me go free? John 11. Like, I'm like Lazarus, Lord. And you know, you've just, you know, I'm raised from the dead, but I'm still so bound up. And so, Lord, like, will you like talk to people that are maybe the empty nester and maybe their grandparents, and they think, you know what? I just might as well. I shouldn't even bother trying to go back and scratch at those things when the Lord is saying, no, I've got freedom.
Right. Yeah, and then one of the comments that Dr. Bob makes, and this is engraved in my mind, is that the core of all sin is running away from suffering. And so if you have a trauma, the Lord wants to go back with you through that. And they do these exercises to bring healing into those situations. And that I got it wrong. He was with me, and he wants to bring me out of this, and with the realization that all things work for our good for those who love God. Even the difficult moments in life are all part of a bigger story, a more beautiful story. But we get stuck with, well, this nothing good will come out of this. And we were just reading out. It was was it from Ecclesiastes, I think, that a person who says that why were the old days better lacks wisdom. And I read that in the Bereaver. I'm like, oh. And there's a song called "Take My Hand and Walk by the Cry." It's a really old song, but don't you say why were the old days better just because you're scared of the unknown? So if you're going through a transition like an empty nester, you need to look at it with hope. And that I know the plans I have for you. I'm going to bring that, yes, this is going, but it's all our life is just transitions, transitions, and it's heading toward this glorious moment of unity with the Lord and seeing Him face to face. But if you're nostalgic, it can really interfere with the new things He wants to do. So you have to be healed from that and realize there are new things. And this is what we're all struggling with right now. We just had listening sessions in our parishes, and well, I like it this way, and I don't like the idea of something changing. And we just get stuck. And it's like you're a pilgrim people. You can't just, you have to realize that God is helping you to let go of something to bring something new into your hands and into your life. And I'm sure you with your kids leaving and possibly marriages and stuff, like everything, you can't say, well, let's just go back the way it was. We're moving forward to a trajectory, and that's eternal life with Christ. But I know in my own life, nostalgia can be dangerous if instead of leading to a place of gratitude for what you had, you're not looking forward to what's happening, the new things he wants to do.
Yeah, it's so funny. I think I would say Carrie, when she looks back on, like, I think she would say there were simpler times where the pains
Yeah.
weren't quite as hard, the challenges weren't quite as tall, and it's like, okay, Lord, when do we break through this? When do things get easier? And I think it was like, I don't know if they're going to ever get easier. I think, because the challenges just shift, right? So you go from the challenges of raising little kids and having to protect them to teens and their rebellion, and now they're older in college, and are they making good career decisions? And then what about decisions about spouses? And then what happens when they have kids? Oh, now we can take a break, right? Yeah, no, that is not the way it works. So,
Right. And we're
yeah.
all works in progress, but he will bring to completion the good work he's begun in us, and just to trust in that. But everything is shifting and changing. And again, that passage is really, and I'm sure I read it before, but that really struck me in the head. Like the person who says, why were the old days better, lacks wisdom. Like, oh, okay.
No, that's a good quote. That's a good quote. And we'll actually stop there for a break. And when we come back, Father Jim, I want to have you talk a little bit about your own thinking about, hey, what's going to be happening on Saturday? And why does something like the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, that is like almost 60 years old, why is it still relevant today? What part can it play in the lives of the faithful? Back in a minute. Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Tom Karn again. I have the delightful gift of having Father Jim Northrup. Every time I see him, he's looking younger, looking more fit, and is responsible for more parishes. So, Father, before you know it, you're going to be a bishop somewhere. You just
Oh,
watch
Lord,
out.
have mercy. I went and pray for that.
Well, Father Jim, this Saturday you're going to be at St. Brendan's in Bothell, where you were a pastor for 12 years, and you're going to be there presiding at Mass. There's praise and worship. There is a time of celebration. It's an anniversary celebration for WWCCR, Western Washington Catholic Charismatic Renewal. And then there's a potluck afterwards. And folks, go to WWCCR to register. WWCCR.org. .org. WWCCR.org. Western Washington Catholic Charismatic Renewal. Father Jim, talk a bit about why this event is something that is so meaningful to you that you said, yes, I want to be there. I'm in.
I'm going to give thanks, number one, for all the wonderful people who have been part of this organization, this ministry. And many of them have gone on to their eternal reward, but they're just little stars along the way for me. Philippians 2, they shine like stars in the night. But also, I'm just thinking of St. John Paul II, it's the new springtime, and that God is opening opportunities and doors for us to do new things and to reach out and lead people to Christ. And to see this as a time of opportunity, and things have changed. Like I was telling Virginia King, the past executive director for years, that I missed all those big conferences at the Meydenbauer Center, and I met and picked up Dr. Rhonda Sherman and Patty Mansfield once and talked her ear off in the car all the way there about the Duquesne weekend. But those are gone now, but now we had a Life in the Spirit Summit here over the summer, and I watched, and it wasn't huge. And as usual, most of the people came from other places and not my own parishes, but they came. One guy came down from Canada. And the faith sharing that took place, I was just sitting in the back of the social hall, just taking it all in. And then somebody turned around and asked me a question, like, hey, wait, I'm off duty. I'm just observing. And one particular person in one of my parishes, and it's just opened the door to some wonderful things and opportunities and new things in his life. And it's just exciting to see that when you're around other people and they share their faith and they give, proclaim his marvelous deeds, then it touches you and it makes you realize, well, what's he going to do new in my life and what's he going to show me? Because it's just so easy to kind of, lower our expectations. But there's a new springtime in front of us. And yes, there are challenges and there are going to be more challenges, but greater is he who's in us and he who's in the world. We got to believe that. And it doesn't look like it used to. And we may get a little smaller, be trimmed that down a bit. But that dynamism and that joy in the Holy Spirit is always available to us. It's not like, oh, you missed the boat. Sorry. Nice try.
So, Father Jim, one of the ways I've heard people describe sometimes the way that we settle for less in our life of faith is that we don't really think God expects much from us because we expect so little from Him. Talk about what we expect from God and how in many ways the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the Catholic charismatic renewal has been used by God in this path of in this period of history to really break open what we ought to be expecting from God and what God is expecting from us.
Well, that's the thing. So if you sit in your disappointments and you don't focus on the Lord, and how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And this is right after he taught the Lord's Prayer in Luke 11. If you and your wickedness have given good things to your children, just imagine how much more the Heavenly Father will give you the Holy Spirit if you ask. And so that lack of expectation comes from the wrong image of God, that he's not generous. The Father doesn't ration the gift of the Holy Spirit. He tells us that in John, that and the more you ask, the more you receive. We don't receive because we don't ask. And Bonaventure, St. Bonaventure had, the Holy Spirit, it comes where he's welcomed, where he's expected. There's a quote, I don't have it at the top of my head, but when I found it, I thought that guy knew what he's talking about. And so the more you realize the goodness of God, how kind and generous he is, then the more you ask for him and you surrender and you ask, you take care of it and give me the Holy Spirit and help show me what you want me to do for you today. I might not be here tomorrow, but I think it comes from the wrong image of God. Or self-sufficiency that, God doesn't care about this, so I'm just going to take the bull by the horns myself. No, and that's where Mary's. I've watched as the charismatic renewal has matured, and it went through some rough times there, with some goofy things like, oh, we don't have to have mass, we're all. I wasn't part of that, but it's become more Marian because she is the one who teaches us how to welcome the Holy Spirit. Be it done unto me according to thy word. And when the angel Gabriel appeared to her, she didn't say, oh, you just messed up my plans. I had all these things lined up and I've been following all the rules to a T, and now you threw this wrench in here. Oh, you're pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Oh, everyone's going to believe that. She didn't. She just said, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. You've been faithful in every generation. That's why we should be like that right now, instead of, oh, we have to face this now, and this is gone, and this is gone. No, he's going to do something new in our midst, proclaim his marvelous deeds. And getting people to want to share their faith, that's been a huge component of the charismatic renewal, is testimony. And I really believe there's not enough testimony. They defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and their testimony. And people aren't coming to faith because they're not hearing. Faith comes by hearing. And the people I've met in the charismatic renewal are much more eager to share their faith. And even that experience at the conference, I didn't get a word that I was supposed to pray with these nuns, these new nuns from this religious order. Someone else said, I got a word. It's like, I didn't get that word, and I didn't feel really confident. But I stepped out in faith, and it all worked out. And it's like we help each other have more of that trust and everything. But when they came to me after dinner and said, I got this word, I'm like, I didn't get that word. What do you And I was a little
That's so
hesitant
awesome.
to, yeah, I was a little hesitant to do it, but then it all worked out.
So
Amazing.
I just have to ask, Houston, that's Texas. Were these sisters from the Disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ from Prayer Town?
Yes,
Because
they were. How did you know
it
that?
was a word. The Lord gave me a word, right? There we go.
I have their
No,
business card here at my desk, right
they
here.
are amazing. I love
Yeah.
those sisters. They are so cool.
And my
You know,
last
you
word to the one I prayed with was that your joy is going to attract a lot of people because they're happy. They're very joyful. Yeah.
Yes, they
How
are
did you meet
amazing.
them? How did you come into counter with them?
Okay, so crazy, you should say this. It was in Houston, 2001. They had the Catholic Charismatic Conference down there, and there was this huge storm, like hurricane, and it blew us out. And the sisters, I gave a testimony there. I was giving a talk and whatever, whatever. And a part of the talk was that Carrie and I were struggling to have children. And so the sisters surrounded me in the parking lot and started, and they prayed over me and sung, and they sang in tongues over me. And it was so powerful. And sure enough, Carrie got pregnant and we have a bunch of kids now. And
Wow.
I had the gift of being able to like lead a retreat at Prayer Town. And it was so funny because one of the things they said was, well, we encourage you to stay in your room at night because rattlesnakes will come up and they'll be outside your door during the night. So just wait. And then when sun comes up, it'll be fine. And I'm like, sister, I will not be going outside. Yes,
Yeah, that's great.
I confirm that word. I
Yeah,
confirm that
yeah.
word. But oh yeah, Prayer Town. If I said I you make a little suggestion, sisters, if you ever want me to come to Prayer Town and do a retreat or something, they are
Wow.
amazing. They are
Wow.
amazing.
And those Holy Spirit connection like that, I've even mentioned this, and you knew that I mean, we didn't rehearse this beforehand, that this how the Holy Spirit is working. And the last one I prayed with, she was actually at the library in Columbine. And I said, how did you get your vocation? She said, well, I just realized when that happened that life is short and I needed to make a commitment to the Lord and everything. And then she shared that somebody else in her family lost a good friend and he hasn't found that yet, and to pray for him. And I was really moved by that because I remember sitting at home when that happened. I was eating a sandwich across the street from the church at lunch. But how God brings good out of tragedy, and that she just, for her, that's how he got her attention. It's like, you need to commit yourself to me. I have a purpose for you. And even though this horrible tragedy just happened right in front of you and you've lost friends and things, I have a destiny and a purpose for your life. I was so moved by her. That is right as we were leaving the conference. She wasn't at the dinner when the rest of them were there. So I was so impressed with that religious order, and a great sign of the new springtime. The Holy Spirit is doing new things, new religious orders, new ministries, new things.
I love that. Well, Father Jim, we have 25 seconds left. What would be your final word to the folks listening?
Expect great things. We serve a wonderful God, and just open your heart to the grace of the Holy Spirit, to baptism of the Holy Spirit, and get ready. And like I said, a confirmation when you're at St. Brendan's, bring it on.
Bring it on. And if you enjoy
Amen.
Father Jim now, please show up Saturday, 10 a.m., Mass with Father Jim, praise and worship, and a free lunch. Father Jim, thank you so much for being with
You
me today.
bet. Thank you.